Graffiti indicated rock fans as an important form of identity. People identified with their favorite bands. By the early 1980s, there was lots of graffiti to be seen in the Soviet Union with names of favorite bands, much of it in English, naming the popular Western rock bands like AC/DC or Kiss or Metallica. One saw this all over the walls of major cities, but also Soviet rock bands, which tended to emulate Western styles. Graffiti also indicated people's identity as a certain type of fan. For example, one would see references to what were called in Russian metalisti, that is to say, fans of heavy metal, or rockery, fans of rock and roll, or even breakery, which were fans of break dancing. One also saw graffiti that indicated even more countercultural identities, a countercultural group, sometimes vaguely political, such as graffiti that indicated a person associated with pacifism, belonged to a group that was against the army or against the war, for example, the war in Afghanistan. There was graffiti associated with hippies, whose goal was to disengage not just with Soviet politics, but with the whole outer physical, material world. Graffiti representing the ideas of anarchists or people who considered themselves to be punks, emulating punks from the West, especially England and the United States. Even graffiti by neo-fascists, by fans of Hitler who would periodically gather and beat up hippies and punks and others. In addition to these subtler forms of defiance or alienation, or maybe these were simply ways of coping with society and creating a sphere that was one's own, we can also see more direct, more engaged, even public expressions of dissident values. Many of these, though, emerged in those special private spheres that were being created, sort of extended and interlinking circles of friends. For example, one sees the formation of religious groups of all sorts, Christian study prayer groups, for example, secret Protestant groups. It wasn't unusual if one went, especially in winter, to one of the big public pools in Russia that are shrouded in steam, to find baptisms by Protestant groups taking place in these public swimming pools. One found the formation of Hebrew language study groups among Jews, or groups that engaged in the study of Eastern religion, especially Zen Buddhism. Most pervasive, though, were what might be described as private cultural circles that formed in individual apartments, salons, one might say, to use a pre-revolutionary word, or even better, kruzhki, these circles of the intelligentsia. These too began to form in these years. And at these sorts of gatherings, in these private circles held in people's individual apartments, friends and acquaintances would gather to talk. They talk about books, they talk about events, about ideas, about values, and they tell the latest anecdote. They would read poems or even stories or even novels that couldn't be officially published. And they would sing. Especially they'd sing the very popular songs of what were often known as the bards, these singer-songwriter poets who performed their own composed songs to their own music. Songwriters that were particularly popular such as Vladimir Vysotsky or Bulat Okudzhava. And these songwriters, these bards, as they were often called, were popular for a number of reasons. Part of it was that at least for the educated, which was a larger and larger group, remember, they expressed feelings that about what really mattered to them, what really mattered, honesty, truth, stories about human suffering and endurance, of which there was so much in Soviet life, friendship, love, and the individual and the individual feelings. These were what these songs featured. This is what made them so popular. This is what to which people were turning. For example, a very popular song by one of these bards, Bulat Okudzhava, a Muscovite, though of Armenian-Georgian background, was rather typical. The song was called My Arbat, and it referred to a street in Moscow, indeed to a neighborhood in Moscow, where lots of intellectuals and artists live. This was their world, and indeed, it evoked old Russia. The buildings tended to be not the new modern Soviet style. Listen to just a few of its lyrics to get a sense for the style. Ach, Arbat, my Arbat, you are my calling. You are my joy and sorrow. You are my religion. There is no cure from loving you. You are my fatherland. Never can one reach your end? You can see this is rather far from the heroism and collectivism and devotion to the public cause, to the Soviet fatherland, that was supposed to be at the heart and soul of the Soviet view of the world.